Fairfield County Sheriff Alex Lape joins us now for Talk of the Town. Welcome, Sheriff. The fair, boy, you can't beat Fairfield County fair weather. I can't remember in recent memory anyhow having weather that great for the fair.
Yeah, it was very comfortable. Actually, on a couple days, almost a little bit too warm. But yeah, we were lucky and had great weather all fair week.
And I bet you handed out lots of yardsticks.
Well, we did. We go through a considerable amount of yardsticks during fair week. We also pass some of those out at the Sweet Corn Festival, too. So people always like to come and get their yardstick. I talked to several folks that they collect them year to year. So.
Yeah, sure. And then when they come in, they probably feel more comfortable talking to you about stuff if they have problems or concerns, right?
Yeah, we have a lot of resident interaction. You know, a lot of the citizens come in there and want to voice their concerns about things in their neighborhood, and we take note of that and take it back and address it and send it out to the troops to go out and address it if needs be. Sometimes it's just really good conversation, and you know, they thank us for what we do, and I thank them for supporting us, because we can't do it without the support of the folks here in the county.
And coming up, of course, 1 week from today, Halloween trick-or-treat actually falling on the 31st in much of the community. What does that mean for the sheriff's office? Do you have any special patrols out or anything like that?
Yeah, we always kind of boost our patrols for specific areas, specifically right where the majority of the population is out and enjoying the trick-or-treat festivities, and so there'll be a more visibility for us out in the neighborhoods, and probably passing a little bit of candy out too to some of the trick-or-treaters that are out there, and just try to make sure that everybody has a good, safe and enjoyable time out. Looks like the weather's going to be good for it.
Yeah.
The thing that we usually tell everybody, you know, and we put some of this information out broadly, is for parents to make sure that their kids are dressed accordingly in something that's light reflective, not to cross the street between parked cars, to cross at the crosswalk. Those between car walkouts are one of the number one ways that children get struck by vehicles. So we want to make sure that everybody crosses at the crosswalk, that they have a light or something, that a glow stick or something that illuminates the fact that they are out and about, and you know, don't eat any of the treats until your parents have a chance to take a look at it. Don't eat anything that's open or unwrapped, and just general safety, just general common sense safety.
Yeah,
regarding that.
Yeah, my kids are always afraid of me getting into their Halloween buckets because I would take out the candy tax. But
And we also, in favor of the parents, say don't eat anything until your parents get a chance to pick out the good stuff first.
Yeah. There you go.
That's right. Yeah, well, you can't have that. I'm sorry.
That's right. So traditionally, Sheriff, are there issues each Halloween as far as, you know, little ones getting hit by cars, or is it pretty safe out there?
It's usually pretty safe. Fortunately, we've not had an incident like that, nor do we want to have one like that, which is the reason why we just reiterate the safety measures that folks should keep in mind. It's not that it doesn't happen. We've just been fortunate, and it hasn't happened in our area in recent times. You know, we just want everybody to go out and enjoy the fall weather, kick some leaves around, have a good time with their friends. Every now and then we'll get reports maybe of some what I'll call minor criminal mischief kind of things, where folks are, you know, throwing pumpkins around or something like that. So we don't necessarily need any of that either. So
yeah,
that's probably the worst thing that goes on during this time.
Let's keep it heavy on the treats and down on the tricks, right?
Yeah.
Well, coming up,
I don't know if soap and windows is a thing anymore, but it used to be back when
it used to be. I remember that, and the good old TP and toilet paper in neighborhoods and that sort of thing.
Toilet paper is much too precious of a commodity these days to waste.
Yeah. You don't see that happening a whole lot anymore, do you? That's
no,
for sure.
No. I was thinking to myself the other day. I don't know if you've ever driven through Sugar Grove after the senior.
Yes.
I don't know if it's going to look like that anymore down there, if you know what I'm talking about.
I do. I've experienced it that once because we were dropping kids off at a church there, and that was the first time I had seen that. And, boy, they went all out.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things that that you hear, the cliche things. If you know, you know.
Yeah.
you know what it looked like down there. It's kind of surreal. The amount of toilet paper that was hanging, you know, and I think they kind of promoted that.
They did, yeah. They would, you know, to try to dissuade them from doing anything else. They're like, okay, we'll give you this. You can do this.
Right.
They nearly everybody took them up on it, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of toilet paper that was wasted.
Fairfield County Sheriff Alex Lape joining us. And coming up this weekend, a important drug and computer take-back event. In fact, a couple of them, one going on in Pickerington and one in Canal Winchester.
Yeah, you know, those are, we try to do those in coordination with the DEA. Fortunately, when the DEA puts these together and puts them out, we can then take all the items as far as prescription medications that we collect from citizens and turn those over to the DEA and give those to them to dispose of. It's always a challenge these days for us to find a good, safe place that we can work with, collaborate with, to be able to dispose of some of the prescription medications and other things that we need through our process and through our property room to be able to dispose of. So it's becoming more and more challenging on that, on where we can go and who we can work with to get rid of those things. But
yeah.
this makes it easier because the DEA just takes it and takes it to one of their federal locations to destroy it. They're good takebacks. So there's folks that are waiting to meet you there. And if you go through the Violet Township garages, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can just pull in, drop off whatever it is you're dropping off, and then pull out. You don't even need to step out of your vehicle and do it there.
And I take it these are anonymous events. You can stay anonymous while doing this. And the second one going on at the Dailey Ridge Medical Center in Canal Winchester.
Yeah, and that one's set up a little bit differently as far as you may have to exit your vehicle. You may not, but it's not like a drive-through setup scenario. So, typically what we receive is just outdated, unused prescription medications. We don't accept any kind of liquids, so if you have that and you want to get rid of it, you're not going to be able to do that at one of these drug takebacks. So we don't do liquid drugs of any type.
And no needles or sharps.
Accepted. Yeah, they put it right on the flyer, so it's on the flyer and it should be on our Facebook page. The materials that you can and can't bring. Sometimes, you know, a lot of people are trying to get rid of these old computers and computer screens and things like that. So it's helpful for them to be able to do that there as well.
Yeah, there is a small charge, but you can turn in both TVs and also computer monitors. Small charge, again, for TVs and computer monitors, but laptops, printers, cables, mouses, keyboards, discs. VHS and DVD players, boy, all kinds of stuff. So
So we have several partners that collaborate with us during this drug take back, and those charges go to those entities that are partnering with us to be able to facilitate those take backs on those items.
Is participation normally pretty good for these events?
Yeah, they are. You know, it kind of comes and goes, but typically we'll get multiple pounds of unused, outdated prescription medications, and at the end of the event, they weigh it all out, and we have an idea how much of that stuff has been surrendered in that event, and kind of gives us a metric to measure the successfulness of it. So mm-hmm. it's usually somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, right around 500 pounds in total. That's a lot of pills.
Fairfield County Sheriff Alex Lape joining us. And Amber Alert recently, story, a wanted man accused of kidnapping his infant son from Lithopolis, prompting a statewide Amber Alert. And what's the story behind that?
Well, it came out of a domestic-type situation. Initially, we, at the time, so you have to imagine that these Amber Alerts go out kind of real-time. So we are acting on the information that we have at the time. It's not a quick process, quite frankly, to put an Amber Alert out. We have to coordinate that with the Ohio State Highway Patrol at their hub. So there's a checklist of things that criteria that have to be met almost in an application form before we can request or receive an Amber Alert. So it probably takes about somewhere upwards to 20 minutes or so, maybe even a half hour to even make contact with them and go through this process and to get the Amber Alert issued.
Wow.
It's a very useful tool, but it doesn't apply to every situation. There has to be several different criteria met in order to have an Amber Alert issued. First and foremost, it has to be a relevant threat of safety for the individual child that may be missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then likewise, they have, and we see them occasionally, silver alerts. And those are for missing or endangered elderly folks that kind of similar type situation that have left from their caretaker or what the situation, you know, whatever the situation may be, but they do silver alerts and amber alerts. Ambers are, of course, for children.
Now, coming up here, just a few days away, and I won't miss all the political advertising, that's for sure, but we've got an election coming up. A lot of people, I think, are practicing early voting, maybe some that didn't before. I haven't seen the numbers from the Fairfield County Board of Elections, but I know both sides are really prompting voters to get out there and vote early. But of course, Election Day will still be busy at the polls. And what do you do on Election Day?
Well, from the time that early voting commences at the Board of Election, you can go Monday through Friday, whatever their assigned hours are, in order to be able to vote early. We coordinate with the Board of Election officials, and we provide the security there at the Board of Elections there at the Liberty Center. And from reports that I've heard back, unofficial reports that I've heard back from the deputies that are working that, it kind of comes and goes in waves. Mm-hmm. There's been occasions where the line has actually gone all the way out to the street, if you're familiar with the layout of the Board of Elections there. So probably somewhere in the area of 100 yards long lines. And then other times there's no lines at all. But over the course of the time of early voting, and I believe that commenced on October the 8th, if I'm right. So from October the 8th on, everybody has been coming and going from the Board of Elections, casting their votes, doing their constitutionally guaranteed thing there, and we're there to support them and help them out in any way that we can do that. Typically on the day of elections, all the precincts then come into play, and folks can go to their local precinct and cast their vote as well, and we do some extra security-related type things on that day as well. But predominantly we're at the Board of Elections, providing that security on site there, even on Election Day when the precincts are coming back and reporting to the BOE the outcomes of the precinct races, we still have deputies on staff there then.
Fairfield County Sheriff Alex Lape, our special guest. As always, God bless you, your family, and thank you for your service to the community.
Yeah, I appreciate all the support we receive from the community to be able to provide that service. So thank you for having me on.